From subject to clearly bother Japanese leaders. Only the air.
Hey, so is here. The bigger than the first, then the tiniest. The series advertises halacha d'shtaf in a tear of kindness, so that's the reason why people wanted to come for the third part. So I don't know how whether we have any tear, but we'll see. It goes on. So maybe by the end of the show we'll come up with one or two tear. The figure of kindness people really begins in Masechet Hashana with a Gemara comments on the series of pesukim in the Navi Zechariah. Navi Zechariah describes four different days. Really, the Navi doesn't even spell them out in terms of days. It speaks about in terms of months. The Tzom HaRavi, the Tzom HaChamishi, the Tzom HaShvi, and the Tzom HaAsiri, which Chazal will put it to mean, the four tiniest that appear in each one of these different months. The Tzom HaRavi is Kulasa B'Tamuz, the fourth month, Tzom HaChamishi being Tisha B'Av, the fifth month, the Tzom HaShvi is Tzom Gedalia, and the Tzom HaAsiri is Tzom HaTevet. So the Navi describes these 4 days as Yemei Tzom, but that's not the only way that the Navi describes them. The Navi says that these days, which are Yemei Tzom, are going to be the Sasan of Simcha. They're going to be big days of parties and celebrations and great Yom Tovim at some point in history. So the Gemara comments in the Shoshana that the Pulpits on the one hand calls them a Tzom. They seem to be days of sadness. On the other hand, they're days of celebration. So what are they? Are they Yemei Tzom or are they Yemei Sasan of Simcha? So the Gemara tells us that the resolution to this problem is really that we have to divide up all of Jewish history into three distinct categories. The Jewish history appears in three different stages. There are times when there's Shasa Peronos, there are times when there are decrees against Klal Yisrael, that's the worst case scenario. So in that period of history, so then the Halacha tells us that you may show, you may find this, when it requires a fast on these days, when there is the Shasa Peronos, when there is Jairus against Klal Yisrael. On the other extreme, you have Shas Shalom, when everything is wonderful, when the Shemichus is rebuilt, Chaisal and Eretz Yisrael, everything is wonderful. So then these days are in fact days of celebration. And then you have somewhere in the middle, when you have a time in Jewish history which is not quite Shas Hashmad, it's not quite Shas Shalom, if there aren't outright decrees against Klal Yisrael, on the other hand, not quite Shas Shalom either. We have problems, there are issues, there are sorrows for Chaisal, there's no Shemichus. So it's just English to him. So what's the look at these times? So, the Shas Hashmad, we understand you have to fast. The Shas Shalom, we understand you celebrate. What are you doing time in between? The Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah is Anim, Rosh Hashanah is Anim. You have a choice. If you want to fast, you fast. If you don't want to fast, you don't have to fast. But you said him right that 95% of Jewish history falls into this middle category. Approximately. You give us a very high bar, but we approximately live in such a time when it's not quite Shas Hashmad, and that's because they were promised the favorite to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. Maybe a couple of Mishagarim in Iraq who maybe want to who make public declarations or stuff. But by and large, it's not a Shas Hashmad. On the other hand, it's not quite a Shas Shalom either. We have Tzaras, we have their attacks against Klal Yisrael, there's no Bisha Mikdash, things aren't perfect yet. So we're right smack in the middle. So what's that Lachem is not a Zer, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. So what is the choice? Either one fast, the one doesn't fast. So the Rishonim tell us that that is true, that each era did, that either one fast or one doesn't fast. But if Klal Yisrael as a whole accepts upon themselves that they want to fast, so then each Yochid becomes bottle now for the entire Tzibur. So that's what the Rishonim said, that's exactly what happened. The Klal Yisrael decided that, you know what, it's really appropriate since we are still in Golos, we're still suffering, but we're going to be makabel upon ourselves to fast on these quote-unquote minor tiniyos, the Tzom HaRavi, etc. And we're going to be makabel upon ourselves to fast, even though strictly speaking, the Halacha itself isn't mechayev us. So once there's a Kabbalah Tzibur, once there's a Minhag Tzibur, so then we become a chuyah to follow that Minhag Tzibur, not to tell us the original Takana of Zechariah Navi. We're not fasting today on Shavuot B'Tamuz, we don't fast today on Shavuot B'Tamuz to fulfill the Pesukim in the Navi Zechariah, because there's Manazet, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. The reason why we're chuyah to fast on these days is because it was a Kabbalah Tzibur, because Christ saw as a whole were Makabbalah upon themselves to fast these days, and one is chuyah to be part of the Tzibur. That's what the Shacharah quotes. But if a person violates these tiny of this manazah, poritz gedi yishchenu nochash. So the person is going to be bit by a snake. That phrase, poritz gedi yishchenu nochash, doesn't mean we would like to make it, means that phrase, poritz gedi yishchenu nochash, is a phrase that's always used for a person who violates the minhagi at tibur. A person who is punished in that tibur, he's doing things his own way, so poritz gedi yishchenu nochash. I mean, the person breaks through the fence, he wants to break the safeguards that Christ all accepted upon himself, yishchenu nochash, so he's exposing himself to all the terrible things on the outside, yichutz la machana, so to speak. So the halacha, the Gemara is quite clear that our tiniest brothers are not the Torah's chiyah, but our tiniest are the Torah's minig, the Torah's kabbalah tashibah. The only exception to this is the tiniest of Tisha B'Av, even though the Pasuk does speak about the Sabha Chamishi, which is referring to Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says that Tisha B'Av is different. Hold who full of Sarim. But the Chavim of Mishakim, that Tisha B'Av is not subject to the rule of Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. It's a Hanan and Tisha B'Av. Everyone's Mechuris to fast, the Halach is Mechayat to fast on Tisha B'Av. So the Mechayat fasting on Shabbat Tevez is a minig slash Kabbalah Tashibah. The Mechayat of fasting Tisha B'Av is a Takara Tachamim. That's the real deal of Hold who full of Sarim. There are many details in terms of the halacha of the tiny oath that stem from this basic premise that the tiny oath is manazah, the accepts of Tisha B'Av are not really the Torah's chiyuv, the Torah's kabbalah sashibur. So I want to speak about a few of those technical halachas that appear, some of the very lamaish issues that appear based on this fundamental premise that this manazah really rots to Mitzahar and rots to Shein and Mitzahar. The Ramban in the Sefer Teresa Odom is bothered with the problem that usually when we speak about a Yom Kippur, we speak about Yom Kippur, which is of course the only time of Yeraisa, so we speak about Tisha B'Av, so we find that a time of Tzibur carries with it, not just an Issur Achiva, but a time of Tzibur carries with it an Issur of the other Inuyim as well. One is not allowed to wear shoes, one is not allowed to walk, Tichat, Tassus, Amita, all the things we were familiar with from the days of Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. So we know that this is usually part and parcel of the definition of the time of Tzibur. Whereas when it comes to Shabbat Tevez, so there's no Issur Achiva on Shabbat Tevez, the minik somehow not take a shower on Shabbat Tevez, only a minik. That's why the folks can say when the Shabbat Tevez falls out on Friday, you'll have to take a shower on Friday. That's okay. Because it's not a real din anyway not to shower on a Tevez. But they see when you found the rich shoes on a Shabbat Tevez. So how come it is that on the one hand, it's a side of Tevez, we're fasting, we're amenu, we're mechal, on the other hand, we're mekel, we're lenient within all the other inuyim. That's the first problem that the Ramban has. The second problem the Ramban says, is that when we speak about a real bona fide kind of tefillah, such as Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, so the Titus begins the night before, whereas when it comes to Shabbat Tevez, or Shabbat Tamas, from Gedalia, so the Titus begins only in the morning, begins at Alos HaShachar. So how come that's so? How come Manishtana, these tiny oaths, from the real tiny oaths, so to speak, of Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, why is it that these, I don't like the phrase minor fast days, it just gives a little bit of a zuzzle to it, but we'll use it anyway because that's what the English they call it. So how come the minor fast days only begin in the morning? They don't. Is that what we wrote on the thing?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be here. So if I made fun of being here. So if I made it. The third mistake was they spelled my name wrong on
that was my mistake. I
can't get it wrong. But anyway, so please don't take anything personally. We still like
it.
So, she just told the joke. Now, I didn't want to say anyone's tired when you were here, so I just wanted to lose the flow. So anyway, so we started off with more tiny ears, so now...
You're down to two now.
So our co-partum, you know, that is bothered with these two problems. How come when it comes to these minor tiny ears, so we find so many different coolers. We find the fact that one is not required to refrain from wearing shoes, one is allowed to take a shower and eat their one is allowed to eat the night before. So how come this is so? How come when it comes to different Tisha B'Av, so a tiny Tzibur has a certain Tzura to it? The form of a tiny Tzibur means you can't eat, and you can't drink, and you can't wash, and you can't wear shoes, and you have to start the night before. And when it comes to a Tzibur, hey, that's supposed to the Tzibur, from Gedalia, so we have so many coolers that we start in the morning, and we commit all the other inuyim. So says the Ramban, he thinks that the reason for all these distinctions is based on this fundamental premise that the tiniest Mizmanazah are not really the Isra Hadin. Since Mizmanazah, the Klal really is Ratzum Mizan and Ratzum Shein Mizan, and we're not really obligated to fast the Shabbat Tevez. The Messiah of a fasting the Shabbat Tevez is the Minig HaTzibur, is the Kabbalah HaTzibur. So Klal Yisrael, when they were Makabal upon themselves to fast on the Shabbat Tevez, they were Makabal upon themselves Mechatzor, they were Makabal upon themselves a partial fulfillment of the Tiny HaTzibur. They accepted upon themselves, we're going to fast, but we're not going to drive everybody crazy to fast the night before, so we're going to let people just fast starting in the morning. And we're going to be mechavel upon ourselves, we don't want to make life too difficult for people, some of us can take showers, we'll let them wear shoes. After all, we're calling the shots, we're calling Allah, Pesha, also Pesha, Hitya. We're the ones who created the Israel in the first place. Nobody told us that we were required to fast. Since this matter there, we live in a time where there are no outright gazeras against Klal Yisrael, so we're not technically figure required to fast. since we're not required to fast, we're mekabel upon ourselves to fast. So we should be mekabel upon ourselves, any form of atonement that we want. So we, as Klal Yisrael, voted, we put it up for the election, and we voted, so we decided that we're going to fast a quasi-tithes on a certain occasion. We're not going to fast the tithes, we're not going to fast the Yom Sholem, we're not going to include the night, we're not going to include the chitz and secret house of the mitzvah, the sandal, we're just going to recover upon ourselves to fast a few hours in the daytime, and that's it. That was the Kabbalah of the Shiva. What were they? So the Gemara does have such a thing. The Gemara Titus has about some of the Titus of the Shaman, some of the earlier Titus of the Shaman for A, so they were like quasi halfway Titus also. So perhaps they're the pattern after that. But says the Ramban, this is always to explain why on Tishabov none of these schools apply. On Tishabov is not a minute, Tishabov is not a Kabbalah Sahuba. Tishabov, the Kabbalah is the favorite, was a formal Takhanah Sahamim, but under all circumstances they're required to fast. Whole Hukhul Bab Sarah, since there were so many tragedies that occurred on Tishabov. But since Tishabov we're dealing with the real halacha, but then the Titus begins the night before, and there's a Mr. Rechita, etc. So the reason why we find these discrepancies between Tishabov on the one hand and the other Titus on the other, is all based on one premise, the premise being that the Titus, the Zman HaZeh, the only one that's really the Ikra Adin, Sajim Kippur, is Tishabov.
But
Tishabov
is different implications, though.
You have the Chetzos before the Chetzos, so that's what the Poskim explained. Of course, Tishabov, that all the distinctions that we find in Tishabov between before Chatzos and after Chatzos are not in Halachas of Tishabov, they're all in the Hagim of Tishabov. Anything that's also in the Isra Din on Tishabov is also the whole day. You're not allowed to eat after Chatzos, you're not allowed to learn after Chatzos, you're not allowed to wear shoes after Chatzos. Whatever is a real Isra applies until the time is over. The only distinctions that we have on Tishabov between before Chatzos and after Chatzos are all in the realm of the Hagim. The fact that we don't sit on chairs on Tishabov, that's only a minute, it's not a din. And therefore, if the chatzos were made, so the fact that we don't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av in the morning, that's only a minute, it's not a din. And therefore, if the chatzos were made, so everything that we find distinctions between before chatzos and after chatzos are all in the realm of minhagim, in the realm of pure halachos, so they're really the same, the beginning of the day as well as the end of the day. So this idea that the Ramban is developing for us, that there are differences in halacha between Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av, the tiniest, and all the different stem from the fact that Tisha B'Av is a halacha, whereas the other tiniest are really the Torah's Minhagim, the Torah's Kabbalah Sefibor. So this may be helpful in explaining some other differences that we find in halacha between Tisha B'Av on the one hand and the other tiniest on the other. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Tzachim that a woman who is pregnant or a woman who is nursing is clearly required to fast on Yom Kippur, and not only is she required to fast on Yom Kippur, she is required to fast on Tisha B'Av as well. Most of explicitly that Mubaros and Menikos, Mesanos and Mashlimos, the Tisha B'Av can shame she Mesanos and Mashlimos on Yom Kippur. The same way they fast the full day on Yom Kippur, they're obligated to fast the full day on Tisha B'Av as well. This is, even though this is the halacha, this is clearly the way it appears in the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, so one just has to be careful, that sometimes there are exceptions to the rule, that sometimes women have certain complications, which the halacha may be different. If you have a particular woman who has some kind of a complication in pregnancy, then she would have to consult with her doctor and try to get a good sense as to whether this is a complication that warrants eating on either Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av. But as a general rule, the halacha is quite clear that Mubaras and Minigos, the Tanas and Mashlimos, the Tisha B'Av changed in the Tanas and Mashlimos, the Yom HaKippurim. So the Rishonim tell us, if many of the Rishonim tell us, although this is true for Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, it's not true for the other tiniest. The point of many opinions on Shiva Sikamos, on Shiva Tavis, on Shiva Gedalia, so pregnant women are not required to fast, and nursing women are not required to fast as well. Not everybody agrees to this, and some Rishonim will disagree, and some will have a custom to tell pregnant women and nursing women to try to fast for the other tiniest. But these ones, it's not true. Because if we talk in that Mubaras and Menikos are not really obligated to fast for the day, so therefore, again, there are different traditions amongst the Bonham today, but one wants to follow what the Ikra Din is, so the Ikra Din clearly is such that Mubaras and Menikos are not required to fast, but they are required to fast on Tisha B'Av. There's only one possible exception when a pregnant woman is not really obligated to fast on Tisha B'Av. That's when it's the Tisha B'Av that's Nidcha. Because there was a teenager that has a whole Sukkot Torah to explain, he has a riot from a Gemara with a Tosfos, the whole Sukkot Torah, and you have a Tisha B'Av that falls out in Shabbos and it's Tisha B'Av for Sunday, so the teenager writes in his Chedushim in Hilchos Tisha B'Av that a pregnant woman would not be required to fast, and a nursing woman would not be required to fast either. So I remember a couple of years ago when Tishbev was in Hivcha, so we discovered the Rebbe Kedega. Was it my discovery? A few people discovered the Rebbe Kedega, so we didn't get out, but I was possible to say the Rebbe Kedega. So where? And there was a phone ringing off the hook for 2-3 days before Tishbev. Every pregnant and nursing woman within a 100-mile radius, they realized that I'm the one who's being naked on this job. She got a hefter. I had to.
Tell you what.
As they say, with such coolers, who needs chumash? So the question is, but why should this be so? Like, why should that welcome either when it comes to Tisha B'Av? So pregnant women and nursing women are required to fast as it comes to the other time. So Mikra Din, they're not required to fast. So the Rishonim explained the same idea that Rami Rutenberg and others write, and it's based on the same idea that the Ramban said. But when you're dealing with a Titus that's a real bona fide tree of the fast, like Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, so then, Uberis, Umeinita, so she's not a chola. A woman who's pregnant is not in the category of a chola shiyeshva, so chola for sure not. Her life is not necessarily in danger. The fetus is not necessarily in danger, yet, unless there's some complication. A woman has some significant medical condition, so then each case has to be judged case by case basis. But normally, a woman in a regular, normal pregnancy, and nothing appears to be going wrong, so then Mubaris and Menikos have to fast and give kiss, and they have to fast and kiss. She's not a chola shiyeshva, so chola. She's not even a chola she'ein bei sekhon in halacha. There's a difference in halacha between a person who has a life-threatening condition and a person who's just not well, so has a cold, so says the flu, pain is there with 102 fever, nothing's going to happen to him. That's called a chola she'ein bei sekhon. So a chola she'ein bei sekhon, there are certain coolers, certain things that a chola she'ein bei sekhon is permitted to do. But a mu'uberet, a menikah, is not even a halacha, not even a chola she'ein bei sekhon. That's the fact why the halacha is that for a cholish aim of sakar on Shabbos, I'm really out from his Muslim. The person who's going in there, he's got 102 fever, is really sick. Doctor have to take a look and say, there's nothing wrong with him, he's got a flu, he's got a bad cold, nothing's going to happen to him. He's a cholish aim of sakar on. Let's say you need medication for him. You're allowed to have a guy go and get you the medication. You're allowed to have a guy go do a malach of your eyes for you, because you're a cholish aim of sakar on. So I'm really out from his permissible. You can only get ice for a cholish aim of sakar on. But for a pregnant woman or a nursing woman, because she has a knee, she has a little bit of a tzara, that doesn't even constitute a cholish aim by sakana. That's why the Tisha B'Av supposed to tell us that a cholish aim by sakana is not required to fast on Tisha B'Av. Not to fast on Yom Kippur, you have to be a cholish aim by sakana. You have to have a condition that's serious enough that your life is potentially at risk, so that then you don't fast on Yom Kippur. Not to fast on Tisha B'Av, you don't have to be a cholish aim by sakana. Even a cholish aim by sakana is sufficient to be exempt from fasting on Tisha B'Av. But a me'uberes me'nita, women who are pregnant, women who are nursing, so the baby is sometimes a little crutchy, but that's not called a chayla. Being crutchy is not called a chayla. That is a headache. That's not called a chayla. So Mubaris and Manikos are required, the Israelites into fasting on Kippur, they require the Israelites into fast on Kippur, but the fast is better than anything else, so technically speaking, they're not really required to do so. Because since they're not even a part of the aim by Sakana, so what we call like in halacha, like a michos bi'alma, they're just a little bit uncomfortable. So if a person's a little bit uncomfortable, so that's not a ptua from fasting on a tainus like the ikur adin, on a tainus like the yom kippur, obviously not, and even a tainus like the tishah b'av, that's not a ptua. But on the other tainus, on some gedalia, on some davis, on some tamuz, so those tainus, based on what we said on the gemara of Shoshana, were never really an ikur adin, because this man is there to rush the misanim, rush the shayna misanim. That the ikur adin, what is not required to fast on these tainus, so the chayv of fasting on these tainus is the kabbalah tzibur, is the minhag tzibur. So the minhag tzibur with us, the kabbalah tzibur with us, that when they originally accepted upon themselves to fast these tainus, the mubaris and the nisos, so they voted against it. I mean, they were a separate entity. They said that we're not going to accept upon ourselves to fast. It's too much hard. It's too machon tzan. Yikus v'alma. So when it comes to these tainus, which anyway are not mechuy of nidina. So the Mubaris and Menikos, in effect, exempted themselves from it, and the Zmanah Ze'ah, Mubaris and Menikos, are not required to be more Machmir than the original Kabbalah Tetzibah. So the same way the Ramban said that the reason why we don't refrain from eating on the night of Asarah B'Tevet is because the Kabbalah Tetzibah was such that we only ask it from the daytime, and the same reason why the Ikra Din wants to take a lunch and wash on Asarah B'Tevet is because the Kabbalah Tetzibah was only to prohibit eating and drinking. So truth be said, and explained that the original Kabbalah Tzibur was only to prohibit the man, the healthy man, or the healthy women, based on the eating on these other tainios, but the Mubaris and the Nikos, who are not 100% healthy, so they excluded themselves from these tainios, and that's okay. Tzibur of the kids exclude themselves from, unless they have some complication, but as the Tavish, as the Tavish, so you know, and just for the mere fact that they're Mubaris and the Nikos, that is acceptable to be exempted. There are some women who have extended this kula for themselves a little bit to look it in. I told the story a couple of weeks ago in a different context, where I was visiting somebody on it was the Shabbos the day before Shabbos and the Talmud. It was going to be a Nitra, and there was a woman there, and some of the conversation started to talk about Shabbos and the Talmud. So the woman said she doesn't say Shabbos and the Talmud. Okay, we don't want to talk anyone's personal business. Maybe she's no character, she needs to say anything. So she said, for that matter, her family's minhag is that none of the women ever say Shabbos and the Talmud. So that sounded a little bit interesting. I said, where exactly does that come from? So she said, she doesn't know, that's what her mother told, that's what her grandmother told, from various, various the women in that particular community, don't fast for Shabbos and Matanim. So I chuckled to the person sitting next to me, I said, oh, Shabbos and Matanim, make it over to Matanim. And they decided that they don't want to fast. So I said, no, where it really comes from, what I think that mistaken custom comes from, is very simple, that I'm old, there was a time, a little girl, she got married at the age of 12, so she became Mubarak shortly afterwards. There's Mubarak, Manika, Mubarak, Manika, Mubarak, Manika for the whole lifetime. So by never remember that she was supposed to fast on Shabbos and Matanim. So the stuff of that for that minute itself came from. But Manika did, obviously, if a woman is not a Mubarak without a Manika, then she is clearly required to fast for Shabbos net. The only thing is there is a kula, there's a bachokas apokim, about the following shiloh. How exactly do you define a Manika? What constitutes a woman who is nursing? So Gemara Masechet Nida has a discussion about what constitutes a woman who's nursing in a different area, in terms of a chesnida, in terms of esther. So there in the chesnida, we happen to postulate that at least the Isa make it, how that plays out with Gemara Masechet is definitely going to be different. But there is a theoretical statement in the Shulchan Aruch that for 2 years after a woman gives birth, so that's already that's still considered to be a menika. And theoretically in the chesnida, that could play a role. So in Hilchos Tainius, there were many folks who maintained the same thing, that if a woman is still considered to be somehow weaker, even though she may have technically stopped nursing, she hasn't been nursing for a year and a half already, but she's still within the 2 years after her baby, so that was also considered to be a Megitza. So there are folks who make like that, whether the Yosef is made like that, others are made like that. That's the question of the folks here. Do we have a right to go that far and say that just as a Megitza, Megitza, Dinis, Tula, from these tiny up, so this is also called the Nisha. So there are different opinions amongst the folks here outside Shaila. That is the Shaila faculty with my wife when she had a baby, a new Zion Adar, and then 2 years later, the Shaila was where she's required to fast on tiny Esther. So we followed the Mechilim that the 2 year window, that's the 2 years after a baby, even if you're not technically being a Nisha. So here it was interesting because there was a Shadow of Barris in the middle. One of those 3 years was a Shadow of Barris, so it was technically, it was 24 and a half months after, it was a 24 and a half month time after the baby was born, and the question is that still called the Manika? According to the Mechilim, we'll say that you have 2 year window, so is that still called a 2 year window? So it happens to be a place that the person who could need the shock and others, but the halacha really stems from it. It was either whether the Shana Mubarak counts, where the extra month counts, in terms of still labeling her as a Manika. So this is like a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a stretch of a kula. Means we're not even convinced Mubarak and Manika is a tsura for fast on the reg, at least small time at all to get left in the chajit of Shana. We're not even convinced that the 2 year kula really is right. Some folks can say it has to be Mamish Manika. And that is the third Sad Lahachmer, that, oh, there's another Hakeir, this is already Yisurim. So the first Sad Lahachmer is that, well, maybe this is not even called wisdom for 2 years anymore. So, I talk to him like the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, so I don't know whatever you want to decide. I'm not going to be Machariah, and Machariah is the Shach and the others, and Hilchot Nida, which is really in effect this Shiloh, as it plays out in terms of Hilchot Tainus. So I said, well, nice, if you want to be made, so there's definitely room to be made. But even putting aside that extra month Shiloh, the 2 year Kula, so I think that those who want to follow that Kula, those who have a track to follow that Kula, so they're definitely Gadol and Muhal, but that's also considered to be within the Menichos.
Those
are Mahmia for the 2 years.
We say that the
Rippa Pachana
wasn't from
Ephesus
from
Sederus.
Where they hold
onto Ephesus women's contest. Some Mishnah disagrees that. Some, the Rabbam himself brought the possibility that maybe the, we're not convinced that that's true, that the Mubarak and Ephesus were from the original Pachana, from the original Kabbalah. So this idea that we're developing is there are real differences of halacha between Tisha B'Av on the one end and the other tiny house, and really all these differences stem from the fact that Tisha B'Av is a real halacha, the whole book full of Osiris, it's a real takana to chametz aseret, whereas the other tiny house are stemming primarily from the Kabbalah Sativa, from the Minhag HaTzibur, so there may be other technical details in halacha that may also stem from this basic discussion. So there is an interesting shout that some of the folks can have. What if the halacha of a person finds themselves in an area in the world where it gets dark very, 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 very late, especially in the kindness of the summertime? It gets dark, man, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. So when exactly does the kindness end? The root of it, me, I just said, it ends at 3 o'clock in the morning, whenever the Shabbos come, whenever Shabbos would end. So that's when the kindness is supposed to be, Shabbos would end as well. So there are some folks who have the following suggestion, that when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos depends on the stars, on Shabbos Chodesh. Or when it comes, let's say, to Yom Kippur, that depends on Shabbos Chodesh. Even when it comes to Tisha B'Av, that depends on Shabbos Chodesh. When it comes to these tiny, you know, so these tiny, we're never really halachas in the first place. These tiny are Kabbalah Shatsiba, Minigat Shatsiba. Maybe we can suggest the following Chodesh, that the Kabbalah Shatsiba was the fast, but considered to be a normal amount of hours. The Kabbalah Shatsiba was the fast, 12 hours, the wintertime, 15 hours in the summertime, but the fast of 2.5 hours in the summertime, the Chiyah Gavah will keep losing. Our forefathers didn't live in Sweden. They didn't live in the Orbury towards the North Pole. So they would have to cover upon themselves these bizarre amounts of hours in terms of fasting these tiny years. So there's some folks who have the shakula that you would never say such a thing on Yom Kippur, and you would never even say such a thing on Tisha B'Av. But maybe when it comes to the other tiny years, one could suggest this, since the whole fasting is based on Kabbalah 50 books. So that's a nice assurance. I received the shayla. But I received the shayla not on Shlosh of the Talmud. I received the shayla, I got the Tisha B'Av. So we had to be machmir on Tisha B'Av. The shayla was from my brother-in-law. He was in one of these YUSSRs of back a couple of years ago. And he was in Vilna on Tisha B'Av. And they were having a whole question as to where they were going to get out of Mincha. They'll figure, they had to decide whether they were going to get out of Mincha in Vilna or they were going to get out of Mincha in Kovna. So they asked, you have to decide, you're going to the Arabian, you're going to the Shul, and that was those are the two strangers, the Vilna or the Kovna. So I have no idea how far it is from Vilna and Kovna. So I have no clue. It's only got 2 hours or something from one to the other. Right, so they're going to go down to Minchin 1, then they're going to go from Meir, and then they had to be in St. Petersburg the following morning. So they were going to go take a train to St. Petersburg. Good, so they picked them up late in the afternoon. They end up in Minchin, they got on the train, and they're on the train. 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night. Well, 2 o'clock in the morning, the sun is shining in St. Petersburg. So they wonder, wait a second, when is this time, is this time ever going to end? So this was before cell phones, and even they would have had cell phones, I don't think that cell phones would have worked. I remember somebody once called me with a shayla from Minsk. I also one of these white restaurants. They called me El Pesach from Minsk, because they realized that the camp that they came to, nobody sold the chametz. Nobody had any idea what Mechir Chametz was, nobody had any shayla, or someone had any clue how to sell chametz. So they wanted to know what to do. It was about 10 minutes before the Zman in Minsk. So I said, no problem, that's your shayla Mechir, you find something to find a great Minsk. He said, that? So he had to walk for 20 minutes just to get a phone. He said, okay, so he says, that's probably not going to go over too well. So you know what? I'll dictate to you the Shtar Mechira. So I started, I pulled out, yanked out the Shtar Mechira. And you know, the real Shtar Mechira, not the Shtar Shom. The Shtar Mechira between the Rav and the Gun. So I had to pull it out from the files and I'm starting to read. It's a very, 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 very long shot. And the connection wasn't all that good. But I figured time was ticking away a miss. So I just was recapturing it, so it was like a 2-3 line or so. We said, the Kippur and Nimitz is what we're going to do, and that was the Shtar Mechira Chametz. So all of the entire Minsk was relying on these two-line, the Kippur and Nimitz Shtar Mechira. I remember that Pesach, I spoke on my show, and I said, how the tables are turned. I said, in Minsk, near the Ein Yisrael from 100 years ago, Moish, I'm going to come, and they're calling in parameters to figure out how to write a Shtar Mechira. But anyway, so why was it always at the starting silence? So this particular silence also, they didn't call me Tisha B'Av in the afternoon because nobody had a phone. They called me the next day. What should they have done on Tisha B'Av? And it was 2 o'clock in the morning and the sun was still shining. So I said that if they would have called me with the silence, Shabbat for the Talmud, I said, there would have been some poker and would have been maker. I said, I wasn't so happy. I wasn't so comfortable with the Shkula of Shabbat for the Talmud. I'm not sure that we have a right to say that on Shabbat for the Talmud. Either that idea that we're only Makabel X amount of hours, like Mehek of Heisei. Some of the original Kabbalah was until the night time. You live in a place where it's night or later, so then you're in your stuff. You have to fast for your showers. But if they make something with us, there was some Gedolim who had this idea that on Shabbat of the Talmud, you can be Mako when it reaches, I don't know, 9 o'clock at night. When it reaches what's considered to be a normal time of tasting your chametz, a normal place, so then either you live in a place where it's not going to be tasted for other times, or maybe you have a right to eat. So maybe you can be Mako. I said, I'm teaching about, I said, you can't be Mako.
Trying to fast in a place that would not have that.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah, it's hard to know. Yeah, the whole thing is up to me, it's hard to know. So I said, but on Tishabov I said, forget it. That I thought there's a chlomo grounds to be made, no, because on Tishabov I said, that's not a chlomo sasibu. That's what the Gemara says, tiny Tishabov, whole Vukhumbov Tzaris. So since it's a real bin that they have from Tishabov, so then Yamam is stopped. It's the same as Yom Kippur, same as Shabbat. You have to wait till Tishabov. What they did, I can't tell you, but I can tell you yesterday the next day, and I told them I would have been machmet that they didn't call it before. But make sure I did, I think on Tishabov you have to tell something.
Is there a difference though between on a train? And they talk about
being
on a plane going.
Oh, so that's what we're talking about now. Oh, so the corollary of this Shaila. What this Shiloh already appears a little bit earlier about Shim, so now you have the modern day application, the more modern day application of the Shiloh, the person's flying. The person is flying on a kind of Shibor, sends this direction to find them. So if you're flying to Eretz Yisrael on a subtitle, you pass for about 20 minutes. So that's exactly what happened. And I was once flying on a subtitle, in fact I had this course, I was flying with a Reshechta, and we took off the night of a subtitle, so then to get it's light and 2 hours later, and by the time we went there, so the whole time the stop on Nikolko was maybe the whole assembly table all together was not all that long, so the whole time it was not shaved in here. So it might take a lot of time, nothing to do with the Shia, but just to tell you a little bit about what an oven grubble is. So when I flew with him on that flight, so we landed in there, so it was about 4 o'clock or so. Like, you know, by the time we got through customs, it was about 4 o'clock, so I pumped past the Nikolko. And there's a shul in the airport, so we all arranged that we're going to daven mincha right before we get our stuff, so we're going to daven mincha at 4 o'clock. And I went over to Rabbi Shachter and I said to him, you know, I don't know if Rabbi Yehuda, they're having a mincha at 4 o'clock. So he said, no, he can't join us for the mincha. So he saw that I was hesitating with my eyes, so he said, someone's supposed to pick me up, and I don't want to be much rech, then they should wait for me for another 20 minutes, I'll daven b'yechidah. So it was a kind of shiva. He doesn't get either for the person, the guy, whoever it was, I don't know, some yeshiva bachur was supposed to pick him up, but shouldn't have to wait outside for another 20 minutes. So he doesn't get either on a tangent. So interesting, Mutahaska. But anyway, getting back to the story of Esther Batesa. So if you're flying towards Eretz Yisrael, you can have a very short time. If you're flying away from Eretz Yisrael, you may have a very long time. So Esther Batesa is not going to be so terrible, but Shivasa Batamas could be quite a long one. So Shivasa Batamas, we have a right to say that, you know, according to what my watch says, it's already 9:30 at night, it's supposed to be dark already. The fact that I'm flying I'm flying west, so it's not going to get dark for another 7 hours, so maybe on Shavuot HaKadosh we have a right to be made. Maybe we have a right to say that the same way there are some posts in Warm Lake Hill, people live all the way up in the north, so they don't have to be so concerned about waiting until Mamash Tishrei to come in. So maybe we can either the same issue when it comes to a person who's flying west. That's also considered to be the Kabbalah Sashim was only to pass the normal amount of hours. So yes, those who would accept the first ruler probably wouldn't have so much trouble standing at the second ruler. We're not so sure the first ruler is right. We're not so convinced that the Kabbalah Sashim was such. The few years back, I would have said that the Kabbalah Sashim was. And so they speak of them, they'll skip whatever time the fans end, that's called the Kabbalah Sashim.
What
about the context? We'll talk about the first time,
you know,
14, 15,
after
these positions,
right?
Those
times that
we're
every morning in the morning, that's your
you want to argue that even if
you could
be made
I'm here, I'm in Israel sitting here, the band starts, I get on the phone. So how would you go about where I started? We're not going to start. So why can't we say that? In Israel, that's where I was, that's where I'm high. And at the point where I have still been in Israel, it would
stop at this point in time. I think usually there's still traveling, so you go with your like money actually don't depend on where you started. You go where by Shoshan. So that Vaz writes that the prophet says we got a Shabbat, Shabbat you must send the Chomer Shetechem. So what's the significance of that phrase, the Chomer Shetechem? So that Vaz writes, so that teaches us that a person shouldn't think that we all know that there are different time zones, different places in the world, even if there are Vaz understood that. So he says, a person shouldn't think that, well, I'm a Ben Eretz Yisrael, so I'm going to keep Shabbos like an Eretz Yisrael. So he says, oh, like Yerushalayim, so wherever you are, so the Chorah, even if you move in the middle,
no, but
so
the Chorah, talking about what I'm saying, you didn't understand that I could go,
right, looking at me, right.
7,000 miles in 12 hours. You're traveling, so right. It's like, his issue was that I can't say that it's, you know, seriously, I got Mincha at 3 in the morning.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, when you come here,
it will go to
the higher
days
at the time where I
thought,
no?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I don't know
if I said
where I am.
Even in Shabbos, there's a big discussion in the folks. Is that really true? Is that true? When Shabbos starts for me, so that's the Mechayev of Shmir Shabbos. This is the style I have on the International Dateline. This is a fairly common style. A person, let's say, starts Shabbos in theory, a person starts Shabbos in one place. This is sometimes, without getting into all the details over the technical issues here, but this Shabbos sometimes comes up in terms of Hawaii, that there's a big mistake to the folks here, whether Shabbos in Hawaii is on Friday, whether it's on, we call Saturday. I'm not saying that's about the Torah's stock here, but just that there is an opinion that would maintain, there are many who maintain, that for on Saturday we should assume that's the real Sabbath in Hawaii, and on Friday one should be machmir. If the Raisa one should be machmir to keep Sabbath. So the silence that sometimes comes, you know, somebody called me with a shower not that long ago, that they didn't know all this about the showers of international date runs. So they had a flight that were going from Hawaii on Thursday night back to LA. So they arrived in LA on Friday morning. So somebody told them that may be a problem. So they called me, so I said, yes, maybe this could be a problem. So I said that flying itself is not a really initial deraisa. So I said that they should do is they should do all the deraisas before Shkia on Thursday. They should return their car early and let them come sit in the airport for a few hours. They shouldn't ride anything. They should try to stay away from all deraisas and just to get on the plane. So that's okay. So now the Shabbat was, and they land Friday morning in L.A., so can they go rent the car and drive in L.A.? What's the Shabbat? Friday in L.A. So the answer is not the prophet, but according to some folks who say that once you started the Shabbat, that Shabbat stays with you, whether you like it or not, so then they may be stuck. So I said, Magabi, this class of the International Date Line, which is a Machoikis in the first place, I said, I don't think they're going to be Machoikis for that. I think that Kol Zman, they're in Hawaii, so Thursday night, they shouldn't do any deraisas. Once they land in L.A., it's Friday morning, so then they can go back to having a regular Friday. So then they ask me, so what about it in transit? We're on the plane. So what do you do when you're in the plane? I said, I'm going to sleep. I said, I don't know whether it's Shabbat or Friday. I don't know what day it is. He didn't ask me if you would have brought me along. I said, you know, just figure it out a little harder. He said, I'm not sure what the dinner is. At what point it changes?
Isn't there
any
deraisa of
some,
and beyond the standard,
Yeah, but it's part of Chumen al-Alayam. So Chumen al-Alayam is only the Rabbanim, because Rambam writes that it's not doing it to a Jigway, first of all, from Alamea. Sorry, that's another thing. That's another thing. Okay, it's not that either. But the Yam is not really deraisa.
I'm so
There are two other issues in terms of Tainish Tiba, which also stem from differences between these other Tainiyas, these smaller level Tainiyas, and Tainish Tiba and Tikkun Tizlof, and that's in terms of this Mana Tainish, when the Tainish begins and when the Tainish ends. So we said before that the Ramban explains that the Tainish doesn't start the night before, because the Kabbalah says Tiba was only the fast Hayom. So when does the Yom technically start? So the Yom really starts at Alok HaZachar. So Alok HaZachar, there are different opinions about how to calculate Alok HaZachar. Whatever one assumes Alok HaZachar is for Chol Dinei HaTorah, so that's when in fact the interruption begins as well. Tosfos points out that even if a person wants to get up early and eat before Alok HaZachar, so one is required to make a Tanai, to make a condition they're going to do so. The Rishami says that if a person goes to sleep the night of the Tainus and was not planning on getting up to eat beforehand, so that's the problem, so that it's understood that that's like a Kabbalah Tainus. And you're going to sleep, so Ki'ilu you're Makabal Tainus. So if you happen to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, so then you would not be permitted to eat. So a person should make a Tanai. Folks, because that person does this all the time, so one could argue that may be like a Tanai also. But a person should really try to remember before they go to sleep that they're planning on getting up in the morning to eat, so they should in fact make it tonight. So sometimes when I was younger, sometimes they did it, sometimes they didn't do it. So there was 1 year I started the Tavis, but I didn't think of any reason I was going to get to the Tavis, the short kindness. So I went to sleep that night, and then about a half hour later, so the phone rang, there was some emergency or something, and some of their family member might be had to take him to the hospital, and I was sitting in the emergency room mama's the entire night. And you know, when you're sleeping, you're not hungry, but when you're sitting in an emergency room, sitting and waiting, you get very, very hungry. So I was sitting there and sitting there and sitting there, and then I didn't eat anything. I didn't drink anything. Because like, well, I say I'd gone to sleep a half hour earlier. I'd gone to sleep, but I'd gone to sleep without necessarily planning on getting up in the morning. So I think that's the thing with the Yishami, that once you go to sleep the night before Tainus, if you don't really make it tonight, so you're not permitted to eat. So even though it was only 11:30 at night, but I'll be saying that's the thing. That's the time.
Can you make it tonight now?
Like across the door, the cow hopper, most of the door.
Right now, I'm making the demand. From now on, any kind of fever, I'm having in mind that if I go to
sleep,
I still want to.
I'll tell you, I know, how you should close them.
You don't close them, you know.
There is,
you held the first
place
and you
didn't
do the night.
You didn't make yourself, it was a part of
yourself.
Yeah,
had you been
called
before, you
didn't know. If it would have been a patient in the emergency room, I would have done a test of dying on this one. The three other guys coming in, I would have been. I don't know. First, there's another thing. First, you have to be careful when you wake up early to eat before a diner. So there's another problem that you're not allowed to eat before davening, and the issue is the davening also starts at a low, but the folks can say so a half hour before a low for shachar, so a person's not really supposed to have a shudas keva. You can have a little bit of juice, you can have a little bit of something, a little nod or something, but sit down and have a real meal, a washing, a venting, a whole everything. The ones you really try not to have, even within a half hour before Lotus is out. But now, if it's kindness, that's because of Hilchot's tefillah. But to have a small thing, which there's no real fear that will lead a person to forget the daven, so as long as it's not yet a loaf, that would be okay. What about when the kindness ends? So when exactly does it self kindness? So here, the Gemara has a tremendous rule. The Gemara says that Shkia Sechan, as soon as the sun sets, so that's the end of a kindness. Tisha B'Av is the exception. Tisha B'Av is the exception. Tisha B'Av is also the Gemara says Zena Shmasa Shlo also. Whereas on a regular kindness, Tisha B'Av is Zena Shmasa Shlo Mota. So according to the simple reading of the Gemara, it should be Mota B'Av. It's Zena Shkia to eat. So the Gemara tells us that's not true. So it's just right that for a variety of reasons we don't follow this, either because we're not sure exactly when Zena Shmasa is, but it could be some opinions. The Gemara says Zena Shmasa talks a little bit later than Shkia. There are other possible reasons, maybe the Shema doesn't mean exactly the way it sounds, but at the end of the day, Halach L'maisa, we assume that a person really has to wait until Pesach Kechavim, but perhaps the Shia of Pesach Kechavim for Sofa Tainer doesn't have to wait till what his requirements for waiting for Matrei Shabbat are. So again, there are different features, obviously, in terms of how long a person has to wait on Matrei Shabbat also, but one should definitely defend such a practice. Because the shia that's given for self-kindness is a little bit earlier than what would normally accept for the Isis. After all, the whole thing is only a minute, or only Kabbalah to speak in the first place. And Me'ika Nikla dealing with the Piyat in the Gemara that Benesh Mashas is Mutter, even though for a variety of reasons we don't follow what it says in the Gemara, we assume that Benesh Mashas is also, but one can argue that it's not the whole poker, it's not an absolute requirement. So yes, each brother has to decide what time they consider to be the appropriate time of Pesach Yechazim in terms of the time of Shiva. But in terms of Yom Kippur, there's a system of, so then the Halacha Mishra, it would be one would have to wait for Pesach Yechazim. But again, in each case, one would have to decide what's considered to be the Pesach Yechazim in terms of that.
Eric, please take
this
stuff out
there.
Please
remember,
you are only
going to be
people. Not as bad as it was
before. If a person is a cholish, then you're allowed. It. Then you're allowed. It. It has to be that.